Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, everybody, we welcome you aboard, one and all. We put the big top up, and we go through the steps of the circus for the next 2.5 hours. That is a Friday night in the nation's capital and beyond, and all around the greater DMV area, along with JT the Vic back in the house. Old Vic used to dealing with Charlie and Dave. He gets a reprieve from all of us dum-dums who do talk shows around here during the baseball season, but alas, it's still baseball season for two teams, but not for anyone else, so Vic is stuck dealing with me. Sorry, Vic. Apologies.
Hey, you know what? It's still a pleasure to be working with you.
Oh, that's very nice of you. I'm thrilled to be working with you. I like you so much better than I like Landfill. I mean, I cannot tell you how difficult it is to do a show with Landfill. I have no idea how Dukes does it for 4.5 hours. I tell you what, Brock is a saint because he neutralizes the dumminess of Landfill and keeps that show on the tracks. You know, that's what I'm saying. So I'd much rather have you, Slick Vic Ferreira, than Landfill. I will go that far. I mean, I like working with you. You know that. I'm a big fan of JT the Vic. I'm just saying the difference between you and Landfill is like the penthouse and the outhouse, man. That's what it basically boils down to. All right. I know nobody tuned in for that. We have, what do they say? A plethora of piñatas. I believe Chad says that. We have a lot going on. We have a lot to talk to about and a lot to chew on a Friday night over the next 2.5 hours. We'll take you up until 9. And some of the stories you just heard during Pete Medhurst's final update of the evening, and you can join us on 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 on the AAA Always On Call listener line. 1-800-636-1067, and we'll start here. We'll get into the rivalry. We'll get into the actual game. We'll get into the state of affairs and where Ron Rivera is at almost halfway through his first season, and why I think a lot of the criticism, quite honestly, is way over the top, way over the top. But we will get into it all. We're going to talk about the trade deadline, trade talk, who should be traded, who might not be traded, or who should and who should not be traded, that type of thing. And we're going to keep you up to date, of course, on the World Series when that starts, as you have a really good pitching matchup in Game 3 of the Fall Classic, series tied 1-1 between Charlie Morton and Harrison Bueller. Bueller Walker. What the hell is his name? Walker Bueller? Walker Bueller. You know what? I was thinking Harrison Butler.
I don't know where you were going with that.
Oh, people, just name your names. Just name your kids Joe, okay? Or Greg, or Don, I mean, I do better with that than these Walkers and, you know, Harrisons. And I was thinking about Josh Harrison at first. Then I was like, Harrison Buehler. Who's Harrison Buehler? Where did I come up with that?
I don't know, but I also thought you were going to throw in Ferris Bueller's Day Off at some point.
You know what? I was combining Josh Harrison and Walker Buehler.
Okay.
I suck. What can I tell you? My brain is just absolutely destroyed.
It's the end of the week. You get a pass.
End of the week. The week never ends, Vic. That's problem.
Right. You work 24/7.
Exactly. Exactly. I tell myself that so that I want you to feel bad for me. All right. So we're going to also talk about Antonio Brown because you heard from Pete there in his update. Holy crap. Tommy and Bruce Arians are trying to roll the dice hard. When you already have Mike Evans and you already have Godwin and you already have slow as a piano on his back, Rob Gronkowski, and the little bit that they did reading mean tweets. And yes, they lost O.J. Howard, but they still have Cameron Brait, and they still have a couple of decent running backs in Fournette, who's coming back, and Ronald Jones. And look, you never have enough. And Tom Brady worked with Antonio Brown for a couple of weeks early last year in New England before Antonio Brown stupidly got himself thrown off the team. And for Tom Brady to go out on a limb and say, you know what, I want to bring this guy to Tampa. I want this guy with me. He's good. I mean, it's got to say something, right? Because I believe Bruce Arians was asked several times about Antonio Brown, and he flat out ruled it out. And I think Bruce Arians was in Pittsburgh when AB was in Pittsburgh as well. I believe. I have to double check the timeline because they both moved around a little bit. I believe that was the case. Okay? But I know Bruce Arians, at least publicly, ruled Antonio Brown out, which is another reason why you should never, ever, 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 ever take anything anybody says at a podium. At 100%, it will never change. It's the stone cold truth. They would never lie to us. They would never hide anything. They would never change their mind. Ron Rivera said this, and Ron Rivera said that. Remember Ron Rivera on week 3 on an A Friday on the 18th of September at 11:32 a.m. and 25 seconds post-meridian time said, no, no, no. They all lie. They all change their mind. They all tell you what they think you want to hear. And then they do something completely the opposite in many, many cases. And we see it now with Bruce Arians and the Bucks. Apparently, if this deal goes down, Rappaport, back from his Manscaped incident where he was shaving his never regions and his suspension, he's saying it's quote-unquote very close. Tom Brady has been pushing for this for some time. So we'll keep you up to date on anything that goes on with that and what it means for the Bucks, what it means for the NFC, what it means potentially. Hey, you know what? If the Washington football team somehow gets its head out of its and wins the division, it's possible that the Bucks could be a first round playoff opponent, right? Now, of course, that would require the Washington football team to get their heads out of their you know what, but we're just saying. So we have that. And then we have this, which has, again, absolutely zero to do with the Washington football team on the field and the product on the field. And yet I absolutely feel forced and obligated to bring it up and discuss it and talk about it and at least give you my opinion on it. And if you guys don't want to deal with it, if you guys don't want to talk about it, listen, I get it because it is inconsequential to the overall puzzle. Just like when he was ill and being sent home and strong-armed at the door, and Sergeant Ron Rivera was sitting there with his arms folded next to Paul Kelly, and they were forming a, you know, the Rockers tag team, and then they were Brutus, Shawn Michaels, you know, super kicking Dwayne Haskins when he showed up on the doorstep with his barf bag last week. That's the picture that the media, which I am a part of, wanted to present. Oh, how could Dwayne Haskins is being kept out of? Oh, he can't. He's not even being allowed. Oh, this is mutiny. This is last insult. He's got to get out of here because they are bad, bad people. Okay, it was, first of all, that never happened. Obviously, I'm just doing a bit. Secondly, it wasn't important. Just like this isn't important, but yet because it's freaking Dwayne Haskins, and because it's something so dumb and so immature and so stupid and so Dwayne Haskins, quite honestly, very immature, I believe it, I know it to be true, and I got to talk about it, even though it has absolutely no impact on the football team on the field on Sunday, and it won't have one after the bye or the game after the bye, or, you know, it won't have an impact. And yet here I am, and I feel like I've got to talk about it because this is the forum I'm given, right? And Dwayne Haskins is a big name. And a lot of you guys out there thought Ron Rivera and the Washington football team treated him very poorly, badly. They set him up to fail. They let him down. They didn't give him enough time. It's sabotage. They're trying to ruin his career. They're trying to take the train off the track. They like the white guy more than the black guy. All this stuff that I heard. None of it was true, but all of this stuff that I heard that you guys were generating on Twitter, and some on the radio station, right? And Facebook and, you know, wherever. I heard all of this nonsense. And yet, again, none of it was true. None of it mattered. And here, once again, I'm stuck talking about Dwayne Haskins, again, a player that is insignificant to the overall mission, insignificant to the overall cause. He's a big name. That's why Adam Schefter reports on him. That's why I'm talking about him. He is insignificant to the grand picture. He is absolutely persona non grata. Nobody should even be thinking about Dwayne Haskins, but because of his own apparent dumb mistake, here we are talking about Dwayne Haskins. The report, real quickly, and then we'll take a break and get to your calls. Quote, Washington football team quarterback Dwayne Haskins was fined for violating the team's COVID-19 protocols during last week's Giants game. Haskins made a reservation for a family friend at the team hotel. This is in New Jersey, which is strictly prohibited by the team. Does that sound like a big deal to you? Does that sound like something he should be fined for? Little thing, big thing. Is it a sign of a greater something? What do you think? I'll give you my answer next. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Just getting rocking and rolling. Antonio Brown apparently on his way to Tampa. Dwayne Haskins on his way out of football jail, maybe at some point, hopefully soon, sooner than later, because I can't take much more of this. On the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, good to have you with us here on a Friday night in the nation's capital and beyond. It is beautiful out there. October the 23rd, 2020. Happy birthday, Pops, up in heaven. Love you, man. Miss you. The captain will live on forever. My dad, it was his birthday. Today he would have been, I believe, 74, I believe. Yeah, I think 74. Tough day. You know, try not to think about it too much. The good news is the Washington football team freaking makes it so easy to get anything that's bothering you in your regular life, whatever that is, I have none, off your plate and just think about the idiocy of some things that go on around this franchise. Now, I said this on Twitter when the news first happened, maybe a couple hours ago. I said, in response to Adam Schefter's, I said, I mean, quote unquote, is this something you do when your name is Dwayne Haskins with a question mark? The stink of this franchise is never ending. And a lot of guys, are upset at me or bothered by me that I kind of included or put the franchise on burn here for this. And I get it. Good guys like Disco and I disagree all the time, but Disco and I have a respectful back and forth banter and whatever. And he's a smart guy and he just sees things from his perspective and I see things from my perspective. Now, I wasn't trying to convey that this is the organization's fault for what apparently happened last weekend in Jersey with Dwayne Haskins. I'm not trying to say that. It's not. However, the organization could, I'm sure, always do things better, right? Just when you think you've sent your message enough, you could always do more, right? And that translates, I'm sure, to every organization, every company, every relationship, friends, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, father, kids, whatever, right? We could all communicate better and more thoroughly so that everybody is on the same page. But I'm not blaming the team at all, one way, shape, or form. I'm just saying, quote, the stink of this franchise is never ending. Why? Because here we are on a Friday night, and I've got to talk about, again, a kid that does not matter. He has zero impact on the football operation. They don't like him. I can't tell you that any clearer. I've been trying to tell you that since Ron got here in January. They don't like the kid. They don't think he works hard enough. They don't think he works diligently enough. He's immature. He does dumb things. He's always done dumb things. His clothing line, dumb. Buying a sports car, dumb. Going around on Instagram and videoing his entire offseason, dumb. Taking selfies while a game is still going on with fans, dumb. Reposting it 6 months later on Instagram, dumb. That doesn't mean he's dumb, but that means he does some really dumb things. He does some really really dumb things. And that's called, it is a classic case of being immature. And Dan Snyder could not control himself. He said, I know better than you. I know better than you, Jay Gruden, and you, Kyle Smith, and you, all your college scouts, and you, Bill Callahan, and I know better than you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And you, Urban Meyer. I know better than all of you. I'm going to take the kid that likes my son and that they were broskies at Bullis High School. I'm going to take the kid that just threw for 50 touchdowns. I don't care what you're telling me. I don't care what you're saying. I don't care anything about all the naysayers that are telling me it's going to take 3 to 4 years before this kid truly develops on the field. Not to mention he is truly undeveloped off the field. Not to mention he is completely immature off the field. And when he gets fined after getting benched and after being sick all week and all the rigmarole and back and forth, when he gets fined for violating the team's COVID-19 protocols last week in Jersey by making a reservation for a family friend at the team hotel, which was strictly prohibited, according to Schefter. And I've heard, like, if you get fined $14,000 if you're in the building without a mask. I've heard that from multiple sources, okay? They are dead serious about this. They have a coach who is fighting for his freaking life in a global pandemic. And you are making reservations for a buddy, for a cousin, for whatever, while you're on a road trip that you weren't even needed on. And we weren't even sure if you were going to be on. You make a reservation at the team hotel so that you can have company when you've been clearly told, I assume, right? They wouldn't fine them if they felt that they didn't clearly tell these guys exactly the rules. I didn't see anybody else get fined. Did anybody else get fined? Maybe they did. Maybe Brandon Scherff got fined. Maybe Morgan Moses got fined. Maybe Jaron Christian got fined. Maybe Ryan Kerrigan got fined. Or maybe they were just smart and used common sense and said, oh, yeah, that's right. We're not supposed to do this. We're in the middle of a global freaking pandemic. Oh, and by the way, our head coach has got cancer and he's fighting for his freaking life. And we're not supposed to do this when we're on a business trip. It is strict shutdown. We're not allowed to go out. We're not allowed to socialize. I've been in these hotels. They have security. They have two floors and all this. They watch everything these guys do. I was a part of it, guys, for 5+ years. They don't miss anything. They don't miss anything. What did Dwayne Haskins think he was doing? Oh, yeah, I'm going back to Jersey where I'm from. I'm going to make a reservation for a family friend. I don't care if the family friend is a guy, a woman, a cousin, an uncle, a brother, a sister. It does not matter. You're not allowed to do it. You shouldn't do it. And he did it. And now he's gotten fined. And now I'm sitting here all enraged because I've got to talk about this situation, whether you guys want to or not, because it just shows another example, yet another example of why they didn't want him and why Ron Rivera was stuck dealing with him and why he gave him plenty of opportunity, too much opportunity, ultimately in the end, and why everyone else was wrong about this. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Your thoughts on that, and we'll get actually into the Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys and the rivalry and fans at FedEx coming up next hour right here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we welcome you back to our first full hour here of Overtime on the Fan. We're with you until 9 o'clock on this spectacular weather-wise Friday night as full darkness has lowered its rain on the nation's capital. This segment is sponsored by the Drug Enforcement Administration. Take back your unused or expired prescription medications at the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration's National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. Tomorrow, that's tomorrow, October the 24th, to find a collection site near you, please visit DEATakeback.com. That's DEATakeback.com. Do that. That's a good thing. Get those old pills out so that nobody can take them by mistake or by design. All right, let's get rocking and rolling here in our first full hour. Again, half an hour out of the gates. Listen, I'm not going to only talk about this Dwayne Haskins thing, but I felt like it was my responsibility to at least throw it out there and have some passion and some conviction about what I'm saying. Okay. My argument all for the last 3 weeks has been he is completely insignificant. He is completely insignificant to the football operation, right? I mean, maybe not completely as like 100%, but he is about 99% insignificant, right? He's not in uniform on game day. He did travel with the team to New Jersey, obviously. Should have known something was coming. And he ain't playing anytime soon, okay? And I got to be honest with you. I don't even know at this point if something happened to Kyle Allen, like on Sunday, and he's going to miss a couple of weeks, and Alex Smith is then the starter. I don't even know if Dwayne Haskins would be the number two. Like, I really don't. Like, he might be by default because you would have to make a roster move with Steven Montez, and you would you know, obviously have a rookie that was undrafted at quarterback as your, you know, as your number two, a snap away kind of guy, right? And look, that would be an absolute disaster. But the bottom line is this. This kind of decision, this kind of mistake is exactly why people were down on him in the draft process. Not this specific, nobody knew about COVID then. Nobody knew about COVID until, you know, well after he was already a, I don't want to say a bust as a first round pick, but already more than enough question marks about a first round pick that all of you guys went gaga over because he played well in a game and a half against two teams that had lousy defenses at home and the games meant absolutely diddly poo. Nothing. Nothing. And you guys went ham on him. Oh, he's the future. Oh, he's the savior. Oh, he's our guy. No doubt. He's clear number one. I remember hearing from reporters all offseason long, there's no chance Kyle Allen's going to be the starting quarterback. There's no chance. Now, they were right about training camp, and they were right about the early part of the regular season. But anybody that did not think Kyle Allen was going to start this year was so missing the boat. So missing the boat. But it's one thing to stink on the field and to make repeated mistakes on the field and to turn the ball over in Cleveland, which, I didn't even kill him that bad. I mean, you can't do that, okay? But against Baltimore, he didn't turn the ball over once. Guess what he didn't do? He didn't manage the game very effectively early in the fourth quarter when he took a dumb sack on first down from the 15-yard line and he lost 18 yards. And that's why Ron Rivera put his feet to the coals. That's why Ron Rivera put him out there to hang himself to dry. Because Ron was pissed. And Ron was already upset. And I guarantee you, if you injected Ron with some truth serum, Ron would tell you that he decided to bench him after that first down 18-yard loss sack. And he won't tell you that publicly, but I almost would guarantee to you he decided at that moment. If he was truly being honest, if you injected him with truth serum. Okay? So, again, it's the on-field product, which was sloppy and choppy and dicey. Okay, you live with that. He's a young quarterback. He is going to make some mistakes. He's going to get better. He needs time. He needs seasoning, all of that, right? But the reason why he was benched is as much that as, again, it's all of the other stuff. All of the other stuff that you guys don't quite honestly care about and that coaches do and that people in the league do. And I've been trying, and other reporters have been doing it as well, for a year and a half now, telling you bad work ethic, bad work habits, immature, too selfish. Remember how much crap EB took for, I think it was like right after the draft, he bought like all the Bentleys and all this stuff, and he was showing them around. Remember how much crap EB took for that? Now, listen, I didn't necessarily think he did anything terribly wrong. But if you're mature, which Dwayne Haskins has never been confused with somebody that's mature, truly mature. I mean, maybe by 25-year-old people, he's considered mature. I'm not 25. I'm 47, okay? And Jay Gruden wasn't 25, and Kyle Smith wasn't 25. By people that understand what life in the NFL is like, he was never considered mature. And that was an example. And another example was the King Simba clothing line and the personal photographer and the body by Instagram over the office and the photo with the fan while the game is still playing and so that you're not down there for the kneel down and then re-showing it on Instagram 6 months later to celebrate such a boneheaded decision. And now this. It's all of this that's the problem. Right? They could have lived with some of the up and down nature on the field. That was expected. He was raw. He was young. He was inexperienced. That happens. But when you have to deal with all of this behind the scenes, all of that behind the scenes, his personal photographer, again, body by Instagram, all of the nonsense. When you have to deal with all of that, that's where if your performance is sloppy and choppy on the field, a coach that is a serious, hardcore, strict, but fair players coach is going to look and say, dude, what the bleep are you doing? Are you serious? You're on Instagram when you keep making the same mistake over and over again? You keep taking 15-yard, 18-yard sacks on first down and knocking us out of scoring range, and you're sitting here showing your freaking abs on Instagram? Get lost. Get out of here. And you can think whatever you want about Ron Rivera. You can think whatever you want about Ron Rivera. But here's what you can't think, that he was unfair to Dwayne Haskins, because you don't know everything that he knows. You don't know everything that Kyle Smith knows. And I've been saying this from the minute he took over. Kyle Smith was aligned with Jay Gruden. He wanted nothing to do with Dwayne Haskins. Why? Because he knew. He knew. And if you think Kyle Smith didn't share that with Ron Rivera, and then there's multiple reports, I guess. I missed these reports, but I had heard this. I don't know if there's multiple reports, but I think J.P. Finley said there was multiple reports that Charlotte or Carolina was out on Dwayne Haskins in the draft process, even though Scott Turner said, oh, yeah, they had a high grade on him once when he was asked. I don't remember seeing those reports, but I had heard that they weren't, right? Lukewarm at best. You combine all of that and then the chance to work with him and to see, again, body by Instagram, King Simba clothing line, this, that, the other thing, friend at the hotel. Oh, please. Please. Why would they waste any time on this? He wasn't their pick. They wouldn't have picked him if they had control, if they were here. Kyle Smith sure as hell wouldn't have picked him. And he was here. He had no control. And oh, by the way, it's because of decisions like that that a guy like Kyle Smith is going to walk out the freaking door in January, May, June, whenever he gets an opportunity to, because he knows what the culture of this building is. No matter how hard Ron is trying to change it, he knows how screwed up it always has been and probably always will be. He knows. All right. We will get to your calls. I'm not going to talk about this all night because I see you guys have no interest. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I got a bunch of tweets that I can get to, but I'll actually talk about the football team and on the field and the fans coming back to FedEx at the Giants game, which is 2 weeks away. We'll do all of that coming up next. But if you want to hop in, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 on the AAA Always On Call listener line. And it is, I guess, reported now an official. Vic text me. I know Rick Stroud of the Tampa Tribune, I believe it is, said it was 99% done. But now Antonio Brown has apparently agreed to terms on a one-year deal with Bruce Arians, Tommy, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to join them. Woo! I don't know how soon he'll be in uniform. I can't imagine he plays this Sunday against the Vegas Raiders. What was that, Vic?
I believe it's a week nine against the Saints.
A week nine. Oh, right, because he's still suspended, right, and which means he also can't practice. But they're getting him before he's eligible to practice, and as soon as he's eligible to practice, he joins them. He practices as long as he, you know, keeps his nose clean again, and then he plays. Boom. So obviously can't play this week, and I don't know who they're playing next week or if they're on bye, but the point of the matter is he's almost done serving that 8-week suspension. All right, so that's the big breaking news here on a Friday night. You want to chime in on that? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 on the fan. All right, everybody, we welcome you back. Good to have you with us on a Friday night until 9. It is overtime. I'm Chris Russell, along with JT the Vic, back in our Half Street studios. And what do you know? Sometimes when you're a loudmouth on the radio, an old pal of yours calls up and says, hey, I want to hop on. I want to offer my 2 cents. You know what? I'm an 11-year NFL player. I know more than you, you big dummy. And that's what Kedrick Gulst did, former Washington football team slash Redskin defensive lineman and just one of the best dudes ever that I've got to cover and get to know. He is... joined us right here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Ked, I don't know if this is a good thing for me or a bad thing for me, but you wanted to weigh in. Did I annoy you?
No, not at all, man. I appreciate you having me. I'm heading back from my son's football practice.
Oh, nice.
So obviously, I had you on listening. Was excited to hear you on. Always good to hear the Rooster on, especially on the overtime.
My God.
But, you know, just wanted to talk about Dwayne Haskins and kind of what was going on. And, you know, for me, the fact that this report was leaked that he got fined for bringing a visitor into the team hotel, yes, is he wrong for that? Yes, you know better. You're never supposed to have – well, I'm not going to assume, but due to COVID-19 and everything that's going on, obviously you need to be strict to protect your team, to protect your family, to protect the league, so on and so forth. But it's really frustrating as a former player and as a fan of this team that this information is getting outside of the building. This isn't something that has to do with on-field stuff. There's probably only a handful of people that know he got fined for this. And so if I'm Coach Rivera and that staff, you got to find out who those people are in that building and either get rid of them or tell them to keep their mouth shut, because it's hard enough, as we know, to win football games in this league. And so this information – putting this information out here is only to paint him in a negative light. And for what? He's already the third string quarterback. You've already moving on. So you don't need any of this noise being around the building. So what do you don't think the first thing they're going to ask about after the game, or the players are going to have to talk about next week in addition to the game, is, well, what happened with Dwayne and bringing a visitor into the hotel? Players get fined all the time from numerous things, from missing meetings, having their phones, so on and so forth. This is, I'm going to say, old news. And yes, we are in different times and this is important, but that's certain things you got to keep in house. And so I know Coach Rivera has done a good job of preaching a culture change, and I think he is doing that. But at the same token, you got to make sure everybody else is on the same page and not allowing this type of information to get outside the building.
My guy Kedrick Gulst is with us, 11-year NFL veteran, all with the Washington football team slash Redskins. Did it as good as anybody could ever do it. Wise perspective there. All right, so let me ask you this, and I don't know this, Ked. What if the person that leaked it to Schefter is Ron Rivera? I mean, he talks to the media. He is very friendly with the media. Maybe he just, you know, was asked about Dwayne Haskins and the short-term future and whether or not they might be trading him or what the future plan is. And he looks around and says, you know what, Adam? He's like, I can't even trust him, you know, to operate in the huddle, because let me tell you, this is what he did last weekend in New Jersey. What happens if that is the way it kind of came out? And I'm not saying it did, but what happens if that was the kind of rationale behind how it leaked, meaning trying to explain why he's not getting back on the field?
You know, to me, Coach Rivera just seems like a no-nonsense guy. And I get that from obviously watching him throughout the years, playing against his teams. A good friend of mine that's currently on the roster that I played with at the University of Georgia, Thomas Davis, I spoke with him before the season started. All he did was rave about Coach Rivera. And obviously they spent a lot of time in Carolina. He just doesn't seem like a nonsense kind of guy. You know what I mean? And, yes, I know that, you know, media and reporters, they need information. But there's so many other things you could talk about. He doesn't need to justify sitting Dwayne down. It's easy to see why Dwayne was sit down. It's because, you know, things weren't going right. And like I said weeks ago to somebody, Dwayne needed to do the things that Coach Rivera and the staff was asking him to do, that he was in total control of, the things that didn't matter what it looked like on Sunday. And obviously he fell short of that, but sitting him down isn't the worst thing that could happen. There's a quarterback that we're both big fans of in Kirk Cousins that was sat down multiple times in his career here to sit back to learn and regroup and to grow. And I know that's a real polarizing topic in this in the DMV area. But that being said, if he would have left him out there to continue to struggle, to continue to not build on, to build confidence, then you had an opportunity to lose a young, talented player. Yes, he is a young man. Yes, we all know he only played 1 year at Ohio State. We all know with Coach Gruden and that staff and all the different things and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, this is professional football. And so to me, sitting him down as Coach Rivera saying, hey, you need to do these things. And if you can do these things and prove to us that these things are important to you, because these things are not only important to Coach Rivera and the team, it's important to Dwayne and his development. So, yes, he could go out there and throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns, but if he's not doing the things that's going to sustain the success in this league, then what are we really doing except wasting our time? So, to me, I look at it as, hey, take a breath. Let's figure this thing out. We didn't have an off season. The chips were stacked against you because of everything that's going on globally. So let's sit down. Let's learn. Let's see if we can restart this thing at a later date. But at the end of the day, Dwayne's got to be willing to put the work in and understand that, listen, the NFL humbles everybody at some point at some time. You know what I mean? I don't care who you are. This game will humble you. And now he's just experiencing that on a national level, and all he needs to do is really just focus on football, because that's the only reason we're talking about him. That's the only reason he got drafted, is because of the type of football player he's in. So he has to figure out how to become a better football player, and he has to listen to the guys that Mr. Snyder has hired to help him do that.
Right. From a player perspective, take me behind the curtain here, Ked. You know, I mean, obviously, I respect and value your opinion, and you are always smarter than, you know, just about anybody in that locker room and in that building. But if you – well, no, seriously. I mean, if you see a quarterback or a player, right, it doesn't have to be any – you don't have to name names. But if you see somebody clearly not working maybe as hard as they should or staying as long as they should, and when we talk about work, we don't mean just on your body, right? Right. We mean the mental side of the game and the tape and the meetings and all that stuff, doing what you have to do to survive and thrive in the NFL. When you would see that, like, maybe you wouldn't go to the media, right? But you would probably talk about it with your teammates, right? Or you would probably kind of roll your eyes and say, yeah, dude, no wonder why you're struggling, because you're leaving at 3:30. And I'm not saying that was Dwayne, but I mean, that's kind of the mentality I would assume that people had in the building, right, when they would see things like that. Or is that wrong?
When you talk about culture, I can't speculate on what Dwayne does or what he doesn't do or what time he get there, because I don't know. I don't talk to anybody in the building in that capacity, because they're on the inside, I'm on the outside, and they shouldn't tell me anything about what's going on. But what I will tell you is that when you're trying to recreate and build a championship culture, there are no golden gooses. So if the practice squad player can't get away with it, then neither can the starting quarterback. Because at the end of the day, professional football is about leading men. And they're going to listen. They're going to see what you do and not listen to what you say if they contradict one another. So if he wasn't holding up to his end of the bargain as far as preparation and dedication and hard work, then players can see that. Nobody has to say anything like that. But what they're seeing is, how is Coach Rivera going to respond to this? Or is he just going to stand up in front of his team meeting and sell us a bill of goods but not hold people accountable to that? And I learned that from Coach Gibbs, Coach Shanahan, and a lot of other great coaches that I have, is it doesn't matter who you are. Nobody's bigger than the team. And if there's rules set in place, then everybody is held to the same standard of work ethic and rules regardless of who you are. And I remember Coach Shanahan telling a story about when Palmer was his starting quarterback in Denver. He was late to a meeting, and this was back when you had two-a-days, and Coach Shanahan's rule was, if you were ever late to a meeting, you could no longer go back to the hotel during breaks. And so what ended up happening was he missed, and he couldn't go home back to the hotel during breaks.
So there's different ways of holding people accountable, obviously, and different ways that coaches are trying to, I guess, you know, motivate the mental side. Ultimately, based on what you think, not what you know, as an 11-year veteran, as somebody who has seen it pretty much all and who's been a part of this organization, when you think about this whole situation, Do you think this whole situation, the benching, the timeline, everything, the messages that Ron Rivera has said publicly, was handled correctly or incorrectly?
Well, it's kind of, you know, it's always, you can always look back and say what you would have did or what you wouldn't do. I think from a coaching perspective, you obviously you try to protect your players, and what you say to the media is different than what you say behind closed doors.
Yes.
I do believe that Coach Rivera wanted Dwayne to succeed, but at the end of the day, when those comments were made, though, that was before Coach Rivera watched the tape. And so a coach can have a feeling about something or how he thought it went, but then when you go back and watch the tape and then you go back and you watch the practice tape and what was taught throughout that week, you say, well, you know, and now this is speculation, but what are we doing? We don't practice just to go out there and waste time. Mm-hmm. We practice in order to go out there and execute. Mm-hmm. So from a coaching perspective, when you lose a game or a player doesn't play bad, you look at your position coaches and say, hey, did I take this guy through this? Did he go through this coverage? Did he go through this read? What was he taught? And if he's doing what he's supposed – if he's doing what he was taught in practice, then, hey, we need to figure out how to coach him better. But if he's not doing what he was told to do and what it look and what it looked like in practice, then there's an issue. And at the end of the day, regardless of what level you're at, from pee wee to college to professional, coaching is important.
Kedrick Olsen, 11-year NFL veteran, nice enough to give us a call here on the Mattress Warehouse. Whoa, hotline. Kedrick, just one last thing, and then I'll let you run, and I really appreciate you giving me a call, and I hope practice went well, and your son's doing great, and your whole family, you're awesome. I love you. You know that. You were a part of this Redskin or Washington football Cowboy rivalry again for 11 years. You saw some tremendous moments. I don't think any of us will ever forget that Sunday night in 2012 when you guys won the division on that Sunday night football game and all that. That was the highest moment. Thanksgiving Day, you know, earlier that year was also really cool. Is it the same, in your opinion, now? Did it waver as you went along in your career, and has free agency kind of hurt the word rivalry?
You know, I think it's a little bit of all of that. You know, obviously, when I got drafted here, it was, you know, I mean, the Redskins-Cowboys rivalry, Washington football team-Cowboys rivalry, and a lot of that had to come with just how competitive and what those games meant. You know, when Coach Gibbs was here and Jimmy Johnson and just, you know, rivalries come from two teams competing at the highest level when a lot of things are on the table. I play, you know, Jason Hatcher comes to mind, you know, got drafted to Dallas, played here in Washington. Mm-hmm. Stephen Bowen.
Yep.
And guys like that that are great guys that you compete with. But when you play a team twice a year, and you have to, you know, that in itself is going to breed some type of rivalry. I can think of some times when you might play a team in the preseason and turn around and play them in the regular season, and that game has a little bit more angst to it because your memory's not that short. And so it's still a big deal. You know what I mean? You know, you talk about 2012 Thanksgiving Day to clinch the division that same year when Alfred Morris, I think, ran for 300-plus yards. It's a big deal because it's kind of – ingrained into the fabric of the NFL, you know, no different than, you know, the Baltimore and Pittsburgh and some of the, you know, you think in recent history, Seattle with San Francisco and some of the games that they played. But you think about all the history of the great players, the Hall of Fame players on both sides of the ball, you know, it's up there with a lot of rivalries throughout any sport. And it's special, you know what I mean? And I can remember the first time The second time we played Dallas was when Troy Vincent blocked the field goal. Sean picked it up, got face mask, personal foul. We end up kicking a field goal to win it. And you get back in the locker room and just everybody's elated and ecstatic. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, that was really cool. And, you know, as a young player, they're like, Kedrick, this was huge. You have no idea what this means to this city and to this fan base. So, you know, it's easy for people to try to be cool nowadays and act like things don't really matter. And, you know, with younger kids and fantasy football and all that kind of stuff, I get it. But to a lot of diehard Washington football fans, this game means something because when you out in the community and you talk to them, they say, listen, and we've all heard this line, I don't care if you lose every game. Just win two and make sure they're Dallas. And they're passionate about it. Now, obviously, that's not the mark you want to set. But, you know, I think in my honest opinion, I think it's trendy to say people don't really care about it. But honestly, I know this community will be watching this game, and I know I will be. And it's going to be exciting because at the end of the day, the records don't matter. Who's starting at quarterback doesn't matter. All I know is I want the Washington football team to go out there and get a win.
That is well said. My guy, Kedrick Olsen, 11-year NFL vet, all with the Washington football franchise. Did it better than just about anyone that I know, for sure. My man, Golston Real Estate, doing okay?
Everything's going well, but Chris, I have to tell you. So, when, you know, now that I'm out, people say, oh, you know, how you played, how long did you play for? They're like, ooh, that. I say, listen, I'm not going to rewrite history. I was there, so I must have been part of the problem just like everybody else. So I'm not going to remove myself from my guys and act like, you know, everything was perfect on my end either.
Understood. No, I get that. But, and that's, you know, obviously good of you to say. But, I mean, again, you are a classic case of somebody who did it right. I'll say it. I know you can't say it. I'll say it. My man.
With a bunch of other guys. Appreciate it, Chris.
At Golston64, check him out. Golston Real Estate, of course. Kedrick and his wife doing a great job in the Northern Virginia community and just good people. Kedrick Golston with us. Appreciate him coming aboard. We'll let him go and get home safely. This segment with Kedrick Golston brought to you by Toro Snowblowers for grizzly winters. You need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers. See a Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro on the Fan. All right, once again, thanks to my guy, Kedrick Golston, number 64. Follow him at Golston64. Go check out Golston Real Estate if you're in that need, as he and his wife run that business. And just a good overall dude. With some good perspective on Dwayne Haskins and the Washington-Dallas rivalry. We're going to get into the rivalry, and if there is still truly one, and if your blood boils a little bit hotter, if you will, during Dallas week and on game day when the Cowboys are in town or when Washington takes on the Cowboys. We're going to do that in just a little bit. But first, want to tee up our pal Mark in Springfield here on the Fan at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Thanks, Richard. It's always a
thanks
pleasure
for making it, as always, my friend.
Always a pleasure to talk to the hardest working man in sports talk radio.
I appreciate you. You know I do.
Hey, I'll weigh in on the Dwayne Haskins. I'm a Haskins supporter. Mm-hmm. But I think I understand that Haskins really wasn't showing what the coaching staff thought he needed to show in terms of effort, study, development. So I think they sat him down for two reasons, for his own good and for the good of the team. But I still think he's young enough to learn if he has the mind to it. I don't think we'll see him before next training camp if he's still here. And then he might have a chance to compete, earn a starting job, just the way the coach says he always evaluates everyone.
I truly wonder, though, Mark, if they would have been able to get him in the building and if they would have been able to work with him day in, day out in March, April, May, June, I wonder if he would have had such a clear path in August. And look, I would say this. He was the best of the three quarterbacks in training camp and the 10 or so practices that we got to see, but by no means was he good. He was like, you know, it's like the Philadelphia Eagles. They're the best of a bad bunch, right? He was the best of a very, very shaky, inconsistent, sloppy bunch, quite honestly. And there was different reasons for all of that. So I wonder if we would have even gotten to the point that we did where he was the starter week one and he's voted the team captain and he's making halftime speeches and how quickly it fell apart if we had an offseason. I guess we'll never know, but my sense is they would have seen some things that they didn't like long before they actually did.
I agree. I think it would have been a much clearer picture that they would have seen. The other thing that they haven't discussed too much is if you only have two activated quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and let's say Allen and Smith both get injured, what are you going to do at that point? We have a tight end who's a converted quarterback.
Yep. Well, that's the guy.
About it.
Yeah, that's the guy. No, you're right. We asked him about that about a week and a half ago. He said, well, they haven't really, you know, like officially told him anything, but he just assumed that he would be active on game day. And of course, they've used him as a wildcat. We saw that last week in the, you know, at MetLife on one snap. And of course, They did that a bunch in training camp, which we saw, which we weren't really allowed to report on. But now that they've used it in the game, you know, I feel, you know, like, okay, the cat's out of the bag. We saw just that in training camp. But the bottom line is yes, that's what they would do. And now, what I'm curious, I don't know if you share the same curiosity. I'm curious, what happens if something happens to Kyle Allen this Sunday, right? Sprains an ankle, sprains a knee, hurts his arm, gets drilled again. Okay, that doesn't change anything for that particular game. We know Alex Smith would be the quarterback and Logan Thomas would be the emergency. What would happen if Kyle Allen had to miss 4 to 6 weeks? Like, when they returned against the Giants, clearly Alex Smith would be the starter. Would Dwayne be number two? Or would they? Are they so down on Dwayne that they would promote Steven Montez to the – that's – I'm so curious about that. I mean, I guess we'll never know until we know, but I'm so curious about that.
Boy, you and me both, Rooster. I've thought about that, and I really don't know. I don't know how much they're really down on Dwayne. But if he's really that far down in the doghouse, I don't see how they wouldn't. I don't see how they wouldn't promote Steven up from the taxi squad if they have a roster position. And if that's the case, what are they going? What roster move are they going to make?
Well, I think if you're talking about Kyle Allen, you know, if Kyle Allen suffers a, you know, 4 to 6 week injury, you put him on IR for 3 weeks, right?
Right.
He's got, you know, and that's your roster spot. So that's why I'm so kind of curious about what they would do.
Yeah, and what about using the tight end in like a – how about a flea flicker tight end as part of the little surprise package? I haven't seen that, but, boy, that would be a surprise tight end to Terry McLaurin.
Maybe you see it this Sunday. I mean, the good news for them is they've been good in the red zone. As bad as this offense is, as bad as they are running the football, as bad as they've been on third down short of last Sunday, they've been pretty good in the red zone. I think they're 65% in the red zone, which is much higher than they normally are. So that's a good sign. So if they can get some things straightened out, you know, I think there's a little reason for optimism and a little reason for hope. My friend, I appreciate it. I'm back on tomorrow from noon to two so we can chat again if you're bumping around the DMV, and I appreciate you as always. Okay,
thank you, Rooster. I'll tune in, and thanks for the heads up.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. I said I would do a better job with that, so I remember it at the last second. We'll get to Jimmy in Silver Spring coming up on the Dallas and Washington rivalry issue. Jim, hang in there. We will get to you as well. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. On the AAA, always on call. Listener line right here, Overtime on the Fan. All right, just after 7:50, as we steamroll towards 8 o'clock, Game 3 of the Fall Classic, the World Series about to take off. Walker Buehler.
Buehler.
And Charlie Morton, your pitching matchup, Dodgers, Tampa Rays, Game 3, series tied 1-1. Listen, real quickly before we get back to the calls and get into the Cowboy-Washington rivalry, I don't give a rat's ass about stupid television ratings. You people on Twitter and on this station too, all you guys talk about is television ratings. It is so insignificant. Nobody should ever care about television ratings. Nobody should ever care. They are inaccurate, number one, completely. And number two, it is so dumb. If you like baseball, if you understand baseball, watch good baseball. You got a big market team in LA and a small market, small budget team in Tampa that does everything right and is creative and is smart and does everything to maximize every freaking dollar, that they have. Watch it and don't worry about the stupid television ratings. It just drives me crazy when I hear about how much people on this station and on Twitter care about television ratings. Like, I get that's part of the way things are measured, but they're inaccurate. One, and two, who cares if they're 36% down? Who cares? There's plenty of reasons for it. You think it's going away? You think they're not going to put the World Series on Fox? You think they're going to not put the NBA or the NHL on some sort of TV? All of these networks and all of these people need entertainment options. They're here to stay. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. That's the toll-free number on the AAA Always On Call listener line. Let's do this before the top of the hour. Let's tee up Jimmy in Silver Spring on line one here on Overtime on The Fan. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey, Chris, I'm doing well, man.
Jimmy, good to hear from you again, man.
Good to hear from you too, man. You just led a great segue into what I'm going to talk about, the Cowboys, Redskins. I've been a Cowboys fan since 1970. Mm-hmm. Ever since then, the most important two football games outside of playoffs and Super Bowls have been the Cowboys-Redskins game. Mm-hmm. I know you're a transplant, but there was a time when this city was shut down because of those games.
No doubt.
Forget my personal recollections. Still today, if you look, and this is where I'm going to TV ratings, the Cowboys-Redskins, when they're on TV, are usually the highest-rated game prime time. And I'm going to give you an example. You can go research this. You remember the Matt Castle game at FedEx Field? The only game he won? That was the highest-rated Monday night game of that year. The Thanksgiving game between Washington and the Washington football team and the Cowboys, if people aren't turned off by the name, will be the highest rated football game of the year. So it's not just a local thing. This is a national rivalry. Mm-hmm. People tune in when you say Cowboys Redskins. You can't dispute that.
Now, well, they tune in. But
let me finish.
If you want to disregard
the TV ratings and say that that more people don't watch it because they don't have that many options, that's on you. But those are the facts. And I'll listen to you.
No, here's the only point that I would that I would make is I believe, Jimmy, they watch it because it's the Dallas Cowboys. Like, I think the Dallas Cowboys are very much the ticket here, and the Washington football team / Redskins are just kind of like the side dish, right? It's like kind of like the lemon meringue pie, right?
The Cowboys are the draw 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks a year.
Yeah.
But the biggest draw in the NFL is still the Cowboys Redskins when they play in prime time.
When they play on Thanksgiving, there is no doubt about that. That's a game
when
that draws 32, 33 million people.
Prime time, Monday night game of the week. You can't dispute it, bro. So there goes your theory.
All right. Okay. I appreciate it as always, Jim. Thank you. Listen, I don't know if it disputes my theory. I mean, people watch the Cowboys. Right? The Cowboys polarizing. Whether they're good, bad, or horrifically awful like they were on Monday night, people want to root against them or people want to root for them, period. They are a needle mover. I understand why people look at metrics, right, to see interest. I get it. I understand that. Of course people are interested in the Cowboys. I don't think anybody around the country is interested in the Washington football team. Nobody. Like, when they play on Thanksgiving Day, 4:30 Eastern time. Again, 30-plus million people watched that. I think it was 32 million people watched it 2 years ago, and they played pretty much every Thanksgiving for the last couple of Thanksgivings that that Dallas was able to host an NFC opponent because they rotate every other year. So it's every other year that Washington could play in Dallas, and they've now done it. This will be the fourth time, I think, since 2012. They are going to do that because that is the highest and most visible window, higher than Sunday night football, higher than Monday night football in any window in the regular season and even until at least the conference championship games, and I believe even the conference championship games, that Thanksgiving 4:30 window, Cowboys, whoever they're playing, but especially if it's the Washington football team / Redskins, that is the prime ticket. That's why Washington wants to be in that window to sell merchandise, to expose their brand. That's why. And they know the Cowboys will bring plenty of eyeballs. Nobody's watching for Washington. They're all watching for the Cowboys. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. With you on the Fan, one final hour to go. Come and join us on Overtime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.